Now.
Welcome. For your listening pleasure, we invite ears of all shapes, colors, and sizes to experience the Audio Files Podcast. What up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back in. I'm sorry if my voice sounds a little hoarse. It's just that I was like with these baby mamas and I was yelling all night. My apologies. I'm not prepared for today's show. It's just extracurriculars. You know what I mean. It's just I'm a man of many talents and a lot of people need stuff. What up, everybody? We are here on the Audio Files. This is like the last episode before we deliver Sans Sack to you, of course. But again, I want to apologize for. We were supposed to deliver a Bad Bunny episode, but that shit got kind of lost in the ether. There was some technical difficulties. Basically, it's just I forgot to press the fucking record button. I don't know how I did that. Like, I'm usually good at pressing buttons and touching things, so I don't know what's going on. But yeah, my bad. But we'll basically discuss it. What up? I got my boy Bebo in the house. Bebo, say what's up, big dog.
Man, I go by Bebo. Speaking of horse and wrapping things up, man, this I can't believe we're on season 4 and it's coming to a close. I couldn't be more proud of what we've done here on the podcast in general and what we did this season and expanding kind of the genres we've reviewed. It's been fun. It's been a pleasure. As always, these guys always put me on to new music. I probably most likely would not have listened to on my own. So just want to say thank you to these guys. Thank you to the listeners who listen to us, all two or three of you.
We love you.
But we appreciate all the support, man. And I'm excited for season 5, so stay tuned.
Season 5 definitely coming, and I thought you were going to say, speaking of whores, I was like, oh, where's this going? Ooh.
That too.
And speaking of whores, Adia Stallion, ladies and gentlemen. No, I was kidding. He is in the building, though. What up, Big Duck?
Yeah, I'm a whore.
I said horse.
Oh, horse.
Horse.
I'm both. I go both ways.
He's a hoary horse.
I'm a hoary horse. What's up, y'all? Happy beers, as always, and excited. I guess I'm excited for the new year. Shit, This year flew by fast as fuck. Like,
I agree. I concur.
It really did.
Fuck yeah! And last but not least, definitely not last. Last but not least, we got Red Boy, codename Red Boy, in the building. What up, big dog?
Hey man, speaking of coming, here I am. You know?
I came into existence.
Yeah, so glad to be here, you guys. You know, time flies. I was trying to figure out, you know, the music for this year, and I'm like, dude, some of the albums I chose are from last year, so I was like, I'm just, man, COVID's still like messing me up, dude. You know, but here I am. But I'm excited, man. New year, new music. Oh,
yeah. It's all fucking COVID fucking affected me bad, man. I'd be picking gems for fucking albums.
2020, yeah.
Man, and speaking of albums, man, like I said, my apologies, but we did not get to actually publish our Bad Bunny episode, so we're gonna go ahead and give you the highlights of that episode. From what I remember from our conversation, we basically kind of said it was a little bit underwhelming. It felt like a lot like the Drake album that we just reviewed for All My Dogs. Kind of like the same thing, a lot of gloss and no sauce. There was a few songs on there, of course, that we love, like Monaco, Bars, like things that stood out on Mr. October. I personally love Gracias Por Nada. Just some, you know, Bad Bunny on his shit. But we felt like for the stage of the game and this, you know, point in his career, he could have done better. It's very similar to Drake. A lot of the sentiments were very similar to our Drake episodes, which was kind of crazy. But I guess they're both at that point in the career, I guess. I just feel like maybe Bad Bunny got there a little bit faster than Drake did. Drake gave us, I feel like, a few more better albums, you know what I mean? And that's what was kind of pretty much our sentiment for that episode. So, any else want to point out anything we might have said last week, if you can recall? I know it was a week ago. My bad, gentlemen.
No, I think you hit it on the nose. Pretty much we just said it was kind of underwhelming. He tried tapping into like what his old stuff was and just kind of like his old trap music. But it sounded like he kind of just took like the easy way out on it. And I think it was everyone was on the same opinion on that. But we're hoping that, you know, in the next year or two, he kind of just brings its own twist back, because I miss that, man. That's like the kind of like the old Drake. You know, everyone wants the old Drake, and it's just, it's kind of hard to like live up to everyone's expectations because you bring out a variety of music. So hopefully he can put his new twist into an album, maybe a little bit more concise, and we'll see.
Couldn't agree more.
I'll go for it. Yeah, sorry. And for me, I just
want. Oh shit! Can you say that again, Addison?
You hear me?
Yeah. Can you start that over? Yeah, we couldn't hear you for a quick second.
That was his thought on the album.
Oh.
Thing.
Shit.
We can hear you now.
Yeah. You good?
Yeah. There you go. Fucking A.
Damn it.
Holy shit.
Fuck was I saying? I think, okay, so there's only one that
you were cutting out for a second again.
I think he doesn't he doesn't want to go on the record talking shit about Bad Bunny. I get you. I see you, Doug.
Hold on.
Oh, he wasn't fucking around. It's like I thought he was fucking around for a second.
I think it was maybe his connection. That's funny.
Complete.
I think my thing was like it kept muting me. Like I don't know why. Like it was going on and off.
It thing muting you down.
That's weird.
I'm good now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cutting out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. It was. I could hear it muting and on. It kept muting and on unmuting. So I was like, what the fuck?
Okay.
All right. So, what I was gonna say. For me, I think out of the three of us, I was the only one that probably liked it the most. I definitely agree with what you guys are saying. And like I think, like you said, we definitely compared it to the Drake, how Drake kind of has a formula and his music's all kind of been so-so lately. So hopefully next, like we said, his next album, Bad Bunny, kind of does something a little different. And I think, like I said, shit was a little too long, dude. Just like Drake, a little too long. So trim it up for next one. And yeah. What did we rate it again? I forgot. I don't know if anyone remembers.
I think we were rated it like a 3.9, which came out to like a 78. Yeah. And then and the national rating was like an 81 or something. We were pretty close.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were like kind of right below the average.
Yeah, so I'm not mad at it. I think it's accurate.
Quick question before we move on to that. I noticed on the album, you know, speaking of the Drake and Bad Bunny parallels, you know, Drake always gets made fun of for being zesty. But I did notice on the Bad Bunny album, I think there was two tracks where he openly basically talked about getting his ass ate. How'd you guys feel about that?
Oh, we loved it. It was the best lines.
It was yes. Brave.
What's wrong with
Brave for Mr. Bunny?
He's
a better man than me.
He definitely has some Drake bars on there that I was just like, wow, I either liked it or I hated it, but.
Hey, why would God put the G-spot up there, man?
Yeah. Facts.
These are all great points.
Yeah, true. He's just on another level.
I was just shocked. Like, you know, he's a huge artist, and, you know, obviously, for whatever reason, when a guy eats a girl's ass, I mean, it's fine, but when it's the other way around,
that's what
it seems to get some backlash. Bold, like, oh, that's kind of
balls.
Surprising that a
balls. Pop, like, I don't
yeah,
give a
very
fuck.
Ballsy.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
I like to get
quality
my ass
these days.
Balls, that's art. That's fashion right there. He's making getting your ass eaten cool. Like, fuck, dude. I'm
trying to set her. Yeah.
I know, dude. We're next. Like, that's like next on the list.
Next year. It's our year for me.
It's happening.
I haven't tried it yet, but when I do, I picture it like Michael Cera from This Is the End, where he's drinking a Capri Sun while he's getting his ass ate.
That's the way you do it.
Like, that's the way you got to do it.
You got to be doing something else, so it's not gay.
It's like... Got to be like chopping wood or something.
Barbecuing.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite scenes ever.
Oh man. All right, so we'll go ahead and move on. For this week's album, it was brought to us by Codename Bread Boy. Sampa, I'm not sure how you say it. La'ai?
Honestly, I don't know.
what brought you to bring this to us, sir?
Honestly, it was a recommended by my brother. He told me to check it out. We always kind of send each other some music occasionally. And he sent this one over. So I was like, all right. I had listened to the Tiny Desk, and I was like, this is solid stuff. So when I listened to the album, I kind of went in blindly, and I just kind of just sent this to you guys on the same way. But I'm very curious to see how you guys feel about it. The only like stuff that I do know about Sampha is just kind of like the features he's done with like Kendrick Lamar, Drake. And I was like, this guy's got some talent for sure. And you could definitely see it in this album, in my opinion. So that's what brought it up. My opinion on this album. I don't know. I don't know if you guys want me to go first. You guys want to?
Shit, man. I'm kind of curious. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Let's see. I say, yeah, Brett Boy, go first, sir.
I'm going to be honest. Like, at first, I don't know if it's just, like, the mood I've been in, the year, how it is. But it was kind of hard to listen to in the beginning. And after, like, several tries, it kind of started growing on me where I'm like, oh, I kind of do like this song. And I feel like this for sure is, like, that, you know, that meme where it's, like, SpongeBob and he's, like, transcending into the sky. Like, that's kind of how I felt on, like, a lot of these songs. It also felt different because I know like people likes to talk about like a lot of artists being unique and how they try to like not box themselves in into like certain things. And I think Sampha's going through like this weird thing. I mean, this album is 6 years later from his last one. So he definitely took a long break. And I think each song was definitely like kind of like in its own healing journey. It reminds me of I don't know if you guys are familiar with Yusuf Days, the experience, where it's very jazz. It's kind of like they were trying to compare it. It's like classical music in its modern version, but it's made like culturally for Black people. And I feel like this is kind of like a journey here where a lot of the stuff was.
I kind of thought the same thing. Some kind of like new jazz kind of.
Correct. Yeah, that's how I felt. Because a lot of improvisation. There's like a couple songs like this. The snare drums were actually kind of caught me off guard. Like it's kind of quiet and you kind of get lost. It's a little bit of everything at the same time. And I feel like as you listen to each song, you can kind of like start seeing things like, oh, I didn't notice the drums on this, or I didn't notice like the backgrounds, like how everything kind of comes into a choir.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Like it was like you're paying attention to two songs simultaneously at some points, right?
And then I think he did it on purpose because there's some songs, I forgot what song it was, but it made it seem like he was talking to like himself or talking to someone else, and it was just kind of like going back and forth, which is very jazz like.
And that's what I was kind of thinking. I was like, this guy has definitely done his music theory homework. There is a concept, and it's like where you do the off beats, and not only the off beats but like the off notes, off concepts, and he was blending that with some of the drums with some of his vocals, which were like perfect vocals, perfect standard metric fucking like rhythm, right? And just the contrast of itself was like, holy fuck. And like you said, like it was almost like you're paying attention to two things going on at once simultaneously, and it was actually meshing more beautifully than you would have imagined too. Because even if it was like some of the sharp canned drums or snares like hit on like the offbeat or whatever, and you would think it would make like a terrible sound, but the way he worked it and chopped it up, like it actually made like a beautiful like mixed, you know what I'm saying? Good shit, man. I'll let you continue, Brett. But I'm sorry to kind of take over right there, man.
No, it's not good. I don't even want to say anymore, man. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's pretty much kind of like what I was saying is like I feel like it kind of really grew on me, and I feel like the more I listened to it, the more I ended up liking it. And that's all I really got to say. So, I mean, we'll get into details later, but overall, I really enjoyed the album, although it took me a couple of tries.
Right on. For me, it was an experience. And I kind of give it up because I went into this album with open ears, sort of. Like, at first, I was kind of like, oh, shit, what's this? But I knew, like, immediately that I shouldn't doubt the Red Boy. And, man, it seemed like some of the stuff he was doing was very, like, complicated. Like, it seemed like it was simple. Some of the chopping up of the vocals, some of that stuff, like, in the beginning of the get-go. And for me, it seemed like each song got progressively better up until probably, I want to say, about Only. And then after that, man, I just kind of dug the concept. Like you said, like, he's kind of scattered throughout his mind. This love infatuation is definitely something that's impacted his life to where he kind of addresses it and kind of just like takes us through it. I don't know if it was if that was just on the design to stay with the theme. I give it up because like each song was different. I feel like each song had a lot of different rhythms, but a lot of them were in the same theme and the kind of the same packaging for like the album that we've been complaining about for a while. It's just like, I don't know, man. It was good. It's just it's not perfect. But however, I was thoroughly impressed about this project. It kind of reminded me of remember that 88 Keys album that he had? I forgot, but it had the song Stay Up, where it was The Death of Adam.
The Death of Adam?
Yeah, so this song, yeah, this album felt like the same type of concept, where just we're creating different jazzy melodies and mixing a lot of shit in, a lot of electronics in, and you're staying with the theme. But I feel like this album is like a very elevated version of that exact template, if that makes sense. So, that's kind of my review so far, or my opening thoughts. What about you, Bebo?
Yeah, so I read that Lahey, however you pronounce it, is actually Sampha's grandfather's name, and it's also his middle name. So it's kind of a tribute to that. I wish I could have seen more interviews on it, but I believe Sampha also just recently became a father, which is some of the, you know, talking points of the album. But speaking on Sampha, I heard of him, I think it was around 2013, on the UK producer Subtract self-titled album of that same year. I know Addison and I had that album on heavy rotation at the time, and we were just impressed with Sampha. Like, we hadn't really heard anything like him at the time. And so since then, I've been keeping up with his music for the most part, which has been mostly like singles and EPs, stuff like that. Ironically enough, I didn't really catch or listen to his debut album from 2017, like Bread Boy was saying. So I was interested in catching like a full-length project of his with this one. And I had no idea what to expect, like you guys. Initially, I would say that it got off to a really strong start. And then the last half of the album hit a bit of a lull for me, which is a bit of a shame considering that I did enjoy the concepts of the songs. And I really did like the concept of the album as a whole. One thing that hasn't changed since 2013, though, is Sampha's unique voice and choice of melodies that accompany that. There's really like nothing out there that sounds like him. And I think that's just like the charming thing about Sampha. And another thing that I particularly liked about this particular album was the subject matter and concept. It embodied what life is in general and our experiences as a human being, the everyday thoughts we have, the ups and downs that accompany the entire journey. And there's a lot of references to birds and how they fly and how we eventually have to as well, metaphorically speaking, as humans. Surprisingly, there were some tracks that just didn't land for me, which took away from some of the steam, like I said, in the second half. But overall, I did enjoy the project, and it has one of the most beautiful songs I've heard in a really, really long time. Probably song of the year contender for me, which I'm sure we'll get into later.
Hell yeah. All right, Addison, your thoughts, sir?
Damn, dude, I forgot about Subtract. Damn, that just unlocked a core memory right there. I was like, oh, shit. I guess as you mentioned that, also, I always just remember everyone's going to know his chorus off of Too Much with Drake. That one's one of the best choruses ever done. I might be the only one, but for me, this one, I don't know, this one just didn't hit for me as much as I think. I understand where you guys are coming from with the sounds, and I agree with Bebo, where it kind of it starts off pretty strong and then it kind of hits a lull.
Yeah.
But I've listened to it a couple times, and I'm just it kind of gets tuned out sometimes here and there. I mean, I respect his sound and what he was going for, but it just seemed a lot of the same, you know, for me personally. I don't know. He might be like an 8 Dog, which is just best to work is when he's on a hook, you know. Maybe not. Did Nate Dogg have any good albums? I'm trying to think now. It's like,
That's fucked up.
He has one particular album. I don't know if it's a collection of his best songs, but it's called G-Funk Series or something like that. That's probably his most popular work that I know of, at least.
Okay. Sorry, that's just where I'm at. I just didn't think it stuck with me as much as it did with you guys.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. If you're not familiar with what we do here on the Audio Files, each week one of our members selects an album or maybe two EPs for us to listen throughout the week. Then we all come back and give you our initial thoughts like we just did there. We give you our favorite beats of the project, favorite tracks, least favorite tracks, any notable mentions, bars, or songs or concepts that stood out to us on the project. Then we ask ourselves, what would we do if we were in the producer's chair? How would we make the album better? Give it a rating, some news, and all that stuff. And we got a special episode because this is basically the end of the year review. So we're going to also give you some more stuff later on after the review. But first, gentlemen, let's get to it. All right, your favorite beats off of the project. We'll go with you, Bread Boy.
Ooh, this is hard. I think if I had it, I really enjoyed Suspended, beat wise. I feel like it was so uplifting, and I think it's probably gonna be like a lot of people's favorite. At least that's what I was noticing. I also really enjoyed Jonathan L. Siegel. I think sonically and lyrically, that was probably like one of my favorite ones. And surprisingly, I was caught off guard by Only. At first, I didn't like it. And also, I forgot, like, this guy's British. I found somebody made a good point. Originally, when I listened to this, I was like, oh, it's like a little Yachty, but yeah, in a different font. So yeah. I thought it was funny when she said that. And it kind of holds true, but I really like those three songs. That's it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with, let's see. Well, first of all, in my notes, I just wanted to point out that to me, his voice sounded like a mix of Andre 3000's and Anthony Hamilton. So that's what I kind of put together.
Okay.
Favorite beats, I'm going to go with
him. So basically, you'd fuck him.
Yeah, basically, with the flute. And a beret. favorite beats, sound color, color cloud. I love the beat. I love the different pace. Love like the drum switch up. It sounded like some electric drums, but it sounded like there were some live drums as well. I thought that was pretty cool that the way they mixed it in and like how it was kind of chopped all over the place. But I dug that. I'm gonna go with Spirit 2.0 again. I love the kind of the smooth spacey beat. Just like I think it was very spot on for the theme of this album, like the aesthetic he was going for. And then I'm going to go with Suspended Man. It was just like an ethereal beat that just went along with the song and went along with the theme perfectly. And it took me to heaven right up there. And I saw my angel and I was like, I'll be back, baby. So it took me there. And that's pretty much it. I think honorable mention too, like to Bread Boy said to Jonathan Al Siegel. There's just something about that track, man. That shit was kind of crazy. What about you, Bebo? Your favorite beats?
Favorite beats? I'm going to go with Stereo Sound Color. I thought this was an insane production to start the album.
Yeah.
And it has that quality where I first heard a Sampha, which was on the Subtract album, where it's chaotic, like Anthony said. And if you guys go back and listen to that Subtract album, it's an electronic album. So the production is very similar to Stereo Sound Color, where it's just bananas. And somehow Sampha finds a way to sing over it.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was very reminiscent of that. Suspended, like these guys were saying, it was another kind of chaotic beat where underneath it all, he's still using that kind of traditional piano, which is signature Sampha. And I mean, the way he's able to incorporate piano with a bunch of other layers is it's crazy, man. And then Jonathan L. Siegel, the piano and the synths are amazing. And then there's live drums at the end, which is the cherry on top. And I do want to get into that track later, but those are my three for now.
Hell yeah. Addison, favorite tracks or favorite beats, sir?
Yeah, I agree with you guys on the opening track, Stereo Color Clouds. That one just started off the album really well. I thought it just, like I said, classic Sampha on there. I also put down What If You Hypnotize Me. I like the pianos, of course. I mean, I like all of his pianos and all of his tracks, but that one particularly. And then, as I mentioned, Only. I thought that was a solid beat. And I think that might be one of his singles, too. So that was a solid beat.
Hell yeah. Alrighty, gentlemen, let's go to favorite tracks off of the project. What were your favorite tracks that you just absolutely love, Bread Boy?
Oh, that's hard, man. Are we going with three only? Yeah. We're going with only three.
I'll give you a fourth. I'll give you an honorable mention too.
You know what? I'm gonna do you better. Just two.
There you go.
I'm gonna do Jonathan L. Siegel. I feel like that one really kind of like put the theme on this album. It's a good reference for a book as well. And I would say Suspended. I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I just, like you guys mentioned, like his ability to cohesively bring in multiple sounds and not sound too chaotic and chaotic at the same time.
Yeah.
I know it sounds kind of, you know, like they're counterattack each other, but I feel like his ability to do that really well is kind of what makes Sampha Sampha.
Yeah. It's like the yin and the yang working simultaneously together.
Correct. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. And that's how I feel like some of these songs are. I would say those two tracks really stick out for me.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna agree, man, with the same tracks. I'm gonna also go with Spirit, man. There's just something about Spirit that I dug. I love the way his vocals just kinda like glide over like the spacey beat, dude. I'm like, I'll fucking take it, dude. Give me that shit all day. And yeah, Suspended, man. That's just, I can't say enough about that track. Go listen to that fucking shit. What do they call those fucking when you go, spoilers, no spoilers, guys, just go fucking check it out. Trust us.
Yeah.
All right, Bebo, favorite track, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to say Suspended as well. The chorus on this one and how he's able to extend words with his voice. And he also...
Dude, yeah. That shit's fucking killer, dude.
And like, he's able to go into a falsetto, and it just... It doesn't even sound like a falsetto. No, and it's
great. He turned his voice into fucking piano, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how.
Right.
Crazy, dude.
And his melodies are unique, and you know, his voice is also matching the chaos with the piano. Like Anthony said, just go check it out. Now, so speaking of contender of Song of the Year for me, man, Jonathan L. Siegel. Wow, this one I listened to Elevated, and if you listeners get a chance to listen to this one, Elevated, it is one of the most beautiful songs that I've heard in a really long time. The concept of just growing apart from someone, the beat, the choir in the beginning. And then Sampha just cuts through the beat in such a beautiful way. I mean, I can't say enough positive things about it. It's a great track. And I looked up what Jonathan Siegel was, and like Brad Boy was saying, I guess it's a book based on a seagull who basically learns to grow up and fly and stuff like that. So it's kind of the reference. And then last but not least, Evidence, the chorus felt like vintage Sampha, and I loved it. Also the concept, it's a feel-good track about seeing life with the glass half full and perhaps being enamored with someone. And I think it sounds like he's talking about his child on this one, so I think that's what it's about. And honorable mentions to Spirit 2.0 and Stereo Color Sound.
Hell yeah. All right, Addison, favorite tracks off the project, sir?
I kind of echo what you guys already mentioned, the Stereo Color Sound, Spirit 2.0, Suspended. I also really like the Inclination Compass. It was kind of a slower track, kind of a ballad track. I don't know. It kind of got me feeling some type of way. You know, a ballad about, you know, love between two individuals. You know, it's kind of cute.
Yeah. Was that the PlayStation button, like, sound at the end of the song on that one? Like, I was like,
shit.
It sounded like it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Right? I was like, motherfucker, got me again. All right, gentlemen. I'm going to step out for this one, but if you have any least favorite tracks, I can't say that there was one that I did not like.
I'll go first.
Okay.
You want me to go first?
Go for it.
All right, so I'm going to go with I had two, and the reason they were on there is the hooks or choruses, whatever you want to call them, were a little too repetitive for me, and Only was one of them.
Okay, that one, yeah, never mind. I retract my statement, you know, yeah.
The chorus or hook was just too repetitive, which I'm pretty sure that was a point, and it reminded me of... Do you remember when we reviewed Quelle Chris and Chris Keys, and he had one that was like repeat, and then he just kept saying that? It reminded me of that, but... Yeah. And then Can't Go Back was the same thing. I'm sure because of the concept, that was the intention, because, you know, it's a track about moving forward and not looking back. But again, it was just way too repetitive for me.
I love that shit.
So those are my two.
Right on. Anybody else? Who else wants to break my heart? That's gonna...
Suspended was trash, actually.
Dog. Nah. No more.
I think the timepiece where it's like the French person was speaking for like 20 seconds.
Oh yeah.
I was confused. You're, I was like, all right. Although
like,
I will
wee wee. I just saw Napoleon. Ooh, la,
la. Yeah. I did like Wave Therapy though, even though it was just like a short instrumental as well. I did like that one, but I was like, I feel like that would have fit better somewhere else. But that's my two cents.
Hell yeah. All right, gentlemen. Any notable mentions? Anything that stands out to us? Anything that thought was kind of cool? Again, like you said, Suspended, man, just the concept and the lyrics and every music just went along perfectly. I like Can't Go Back, man. I like the fact that, like don't go back, like, don't go, you know, like, that sample in the back.
Yeah.
It's like his conscience, you know, it's like, you know, like, don't fuck with that bitch, don't fuck with that, shit. Look at her on that Insta. So I get that track, I dug that shit. I get it. And Evidence, I thought was cool too, like Evidence of Love and all that shit.
On albums like this, I think, you know, obviously, like, lyrics are an important part, but again, when I was listening to Jonathan L. Siegel, it's more so like the melodies.
Yeah.
And I remember being really high, and there's a part on his first verse where he just says, driving late night back home through the London rain to you. Again, it's not so much the lyrics, but the way he sang it, where I was like, fuck, man, this guy's just, again, his melodies are just, I can't even describe them, to be honest. But when he hits that line in the song, in the context of the song, you have to listen to it, man. Especially if you're elevated, it hits home.
Yeah, his shit's on point. Definitely check out, Jonathan L. Siegel, check that shit out. Man, all right, any suggestions? We're gonna go ahead and step into the producer's chair. How would we make this album better? Bread Boy, man, since it was your day, you go first, sir. How would you make this project better?
Make it longer, dude. honestly, I think just like if you can, because like I mentioned, I know like Addison really brought it up in the beginning. It's like it was kind of hard to listen to when you kind of lose yourself and you kind of tune yourself out at times, and that's kind of how where I found myself the first time listening to it. And I think after like multiple tries and listening to the lyrics, I was like, okay, like I see like what's going on. So maybe just like rearrange the songs, maybe like take one or two songs out. It's not too long. I think this album's what, like 45 minutes or something?
Something like that.
I feel like just making it concise or doing it in two different parts would have been ideal. I think we did this with, I don't know what other album we did, but kind of like what Kendrick did, where you have like two different sections. I feel like that would have been great.
I could definitely see that. I feel like, like right around after Jonathan Siegel and the Inclination Compass, like it kind of changes, like it pivots, you know what I mean? And like breaking it off into official, like maybe add tag one more on, you have 8 and 8 or something, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just really nice and balanced. And but yeah, I could see that. That's what I was gonna say too. There's something about that second half where it kind of just loses steam, you know what I mean? And like Bebo's right, like it's just like it kind of takes like a weird turn where it's like really softer and really, really soft and tender, but maybe too soft and tender. I don't know. But
hell yeah,
and wet,
But
it was missing the wetness.
It was missing that. Yeah,
I needed to be more wet. I wasn't as wet enough.
Definitely needed that moisture. Anything else, gentlemen? Anything you would add?
I think we all keep going back to that second half. I think I would have trimmed either between 1 to 3 of those slower songs. And I respect what he did on getting like friends to come and help with the vocals. But on one of the slower tracks, I wish he just would have added like a mainstream artist, kind of give it a little boost, you know, some bring a new texture to one of the slower tracks.
Like some cheap points just to elevate it.
Yeah. And as many slow tracks on the second half.
Like even if they fuck up the verse, it's still going to elevate the whole project kind of.
Just something different.
We've seen it happen, is what I'm saying. Either because if they knock it out the park, they still knock it out the park. So, all right, yeah, I agree with that. Addison, man, what would you do if you were in the producer's chair and this thing had to come out?
I think I just echo what you guys said. We're always gonna bring up that second half. Like I said, like people said, trim a little tracks from the middle, make it a little more concise.
Yeah,
like I said, it was a pretty. Not a short track album, but it wasn't very long, so
yeah,
it's definitely easy to kind of go through. But I mean, like I said, kind of midway, I did kind of lose some steam. I think I need to get elevated. Maybe my review is going to go higher if I get elevated with this one. Now I got it. I'll let you guys know next time.
That could be like, why mine
album
was
of the year.
That could be why mine was so high. I could be influenced. I agree. I think I say you cut this project down to maybe a nice 10 song project. And even if you do space out, like, you don't even care. Like, you'll go back and listen to it again because it's, like, so short. So, who knows? Yeah, I would say something about that last quarter, man. Check me out. You in trouble. Check me out. Pay us now. Check me out. Pay me double. Alrighty. Do we have anything for the Check Me Out segment? B, we got something for us?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
speaking of that Subtract album, I'm gonna recommend that entire album, the self-titled album. It's called Subtract. We'll put that up on our Instagram for sure, the picture of the album cover. And then he has an EP called Duel that I really enjoy from him. So those are gonna be my two recommendations.
Hell yeah. Anything else, gentlemen?
Check out his tiny desk. It's pretty solid.
Hell yeah. All right, then. It's going to be that time of the last time of the year for this year for 2023. Moving on to season 5 with the last review, the last score of the year. Red Boy, no pressure. What do you got for us?
What's the question?
Yes, it was a tragedy.
Nice.
No, wait, seriously, what was it? I could blanked out on me.
Your rating, sir.
Damn.
Oh, my rating. My rating. Sir. I give this one a solid 4.2.
4.2. Man. I actually really enjoyed it. It's probably because this is my first exposure to Mr. Sampa. I still think his name should have been Santa, but that's just me.
Damn.
I'm going to go ahead and get, I was thoroughly impressed, man. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4.488. Bebo, your score, sir.
Let's see. I think this one kind of lives. I would have given it a lower rating, but I really enjoyed the concept. I'm going to give it a B minus. I'm giving it a 4.1.
Right on. All righty, Addison, your score, sir.
I give this like a high C, so I'm going to give it a, what is it, 3.9?
Ooh.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Very interesting distribution, this project.
So let's see what that comes out to, gentlemen.
8.4.
If we can get a drum roll, please. We have a 83%.
Close. Damn it. All right, not bad. I agree. Could have been better? Yes. Was it decent? Yes. All right, man. Last question, gentlemen. Would you cop the vinyl, Red Boy?
If I had a record player, I probably would. <No?
laughs> Right on. Alrighty. I can see myself definitely pulling this out of the shelf and getting my Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on, feeling, you know, I think we talked about this a couple EPs ago. You got to pull out something sexy and sophisticated for the sexy and sophisticated ladies. So I'd definitely cop this one, put it on and be like, yeah, I know shit. I live in the future. What?
this is something Drake will pull out if you ever had a girl over. Like, right. You heard of Santa before?
She's like, yes.
You ever heard about Santa for phone?
Let me put you on.
Oh, man. Jingle these bells, baby. All right. I would go ahead and copy, like I said. Bebo, would you cop the vinyl?
Not at full price, which I know is a cop-out of an answer, but no, I'm not paying full price. If I found it on sale, then yeah, perhaps.
That's true. Let's put it this way. $20, and that's my highest.
What's the price?
Question. I'm going to pay 30. I'd pay 20. If it was 20, yeah. Maybe in 25, I'd consider it. What about you, Addison?
I was looking it up just because I like to see what the vinyl colors are. Right now, he only has available the black one, which is $38.99.
No.
Oof. I'll probably pass on that. But yeah. there's a dope-ass white one that I would probably still pass on, but it's pretty nice.
How much?
Sold out. No, I don't know. That's only one available is the black one. So it's the basic black. So, but the white one's clean.
What if rappers do that and they just say it's sold out? It's not really sold out just so you can want to buy it.
Yeah,
that'd be smart.
That'd be some shit I'd do. Like, oh, sold out, dog. No, we're like, the autograph one's $500.
That's smart marketing right there.
Hell yeah, dog. By the way, I got an album coming out. I was kidding. It's already sold out. But the psycho basically pay for overcost for the beats. All right. Yeah, that's going to go ahead and do it for the Sampa Project. Merry Christmas, everybody. That's going to be the last one of the year. We did it big. Definitely did it big in 24. I feel like we did do a big variety of albums this year. And, man, that's going to take us to our typical end of the season, end of the year festivities. It's the end of the year. We got to give you our year in review, ladies and gentlemen. Bebo, do you have anything to add to this, sir?
Yeah, are we going to start with albums or do you guys want to do EPs first?
I say go with EPs,
I think.
Yeah, let's go with EPs. Yeah.
EPs? All right. So I'm going to do my top three EPs. At number three, I have the collab. Actually, two of them are collabs, I guess. The first is Danny Brown and JPEG Mafia, the Scaring the Hoes DLC pack. Reviewed that bad boy. I liked how different it was. And, yeah, it was a nice little mix. At number two, we had Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. Plays well with others. I don't really listen to jazz, but this was like a nice little kind of, I don't know, we called it elevator music, or just like you said, when you invite a sophisticated hoe over, definitely slip this on, you know.
I'm like, you're never gonna believe who's playing this. You remember the guy from Jurassic Park? That motherfucker.
Exactly.
What?
And at my number one is at my number one is gonna be a collab EP with Turnstile and Bad Bad Not Good with New Heart Designs. It was a very short one, 3 songs, but they were all fire to me, so that's why it's my number one.
Hell yeah, I too am gonna go with for the EPs. I didn't listen to many EPs this year, so I just have one. That's gonna be Jeff Goldblum and his band, man. The what's their name again? Fucking
Mildred Snitzer.
Yeah, the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra, man. They're fucking legit. That project was legit, dude. Fucking, I remember just listening to it and I was thoroughly impressed. So that was my favorite, and my probably only of the year. So, shout out to Jeff Goldblum and his band. All right, Red Boy, man. Favorite EPs.
Screwing the Host, PLC.
Fair. I would add that one too. Yeah, that was pretty good. All right, Addison, favorite EP, sir?
I'm gonna go with Scaring the Host, JPEG, Danny Brown was on there, as well as Bebo's Turnstile collab EP, but definitely two of my favorites. Some other EPs that I liked is an artist named, his name's Medium Build. He has an EP called Health. And then probably my favorite one, which is one that I think I just started listening to not too long ago, is by an artist, which no one's going to ever hear the song of the week for the Bad Bunny episode, but it was an artist named Yoshi T who with the song. He has an EP called How to Get Back. And this kid, he's like a Japanese fucking Mac Miller. He has like a very Mac Miller vibe to him. So
shit.
I definitely enjoyed that EP.
Ooh. Nice.
Hell yeah. Alrighty, and I believe that's everybody. We're gonna go ahead and move on to our favorite albums of the year. Bebo, you wanna go first, sir?
Sure. At number 5, we reviewed this one early on in the year with Little Yachty. Let's Start Here. It was an experimental album that worked, so kudos to him for rolling the dice and it working. At my number 4, I'm going to go with Larry June and The Alchemist, The Great Escape. This one was mostly The Alchemist is doing. I don't believe without him the album quite works, and I love the mix of underground rappers and mainstream ones, and just how mature it was, I guess, because I'm 32 now, and a lot of the shit he was talking about, I was feeling. At number 3, I have an artist we didn't review, Chase Shakur, It's Not You, It's Me, It's Love. I think that's his debut album. Really enjoyed that one. At number 2, I have Leon Thomas, Electric Dusk, one of my favorite albums. It was kind of a battle between, you know, putting that one at 1 or not. But at number 1, just for the sheer fact that I think it was like the most complete, was The Arc's Electrophonic Chronic. Really, really love this one. I still listen to it. So that's going to be my number 1 album of the year.
Hell yeah, I'm going to give a honorable mention to Larry June and to, what was the other one I was going to give it to? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to flip it up, man. I actually like this album. I didn't think I would, but I actually got to give this chick a lot of fucking props. Number 5, Taylor Swift with Midnights. I fucking love that shit. I'm not going to lie. I fucking love that shit. Like, she had some good spots on that shit. I'm also going to go with number 4. Sanfo, man, La Hai, whatever this song, this fucking album, this project, I fucking dug it. It snuck in. I think it's at the bottom just because I don't know if I'm gonna grow with it or not. But man, this shit was good. And then I'm gonna go with Little Yachty. Let's Start Here, man. Fucking that shit surprised me in a good way, and I keep listening to it, and I keep finding more shit. I'm just like, what the fuck. And then number 1, man, kind of took me by surprise, and it was weird. It's just like this album just stuck out to me for what it was, for who was singing it, for how they were singing it, the whole package, where it brought me, where it took me. And that's gonna be Noah Kahan's Sixth Season, man. Like, I didn't think I would fucking like that project. Like, I was kind of scared of it, but I gave it up, man. Like, it made me feel something and feel for that guy. So, like, good shit, bro. Keep doing what you do. What about you, Addison? Your favorite albums of the year?
So I'll start with some honorable mentions. As you guys mentioned, Lil Yachty's Let's Start Here. I think that was one of the first ones we reviewed of the season, and that one was definitely one that caught me off guard. Another album is the Skrillex Project, Quest for Love. This one was on my top five artists I listen to. I think I listened to this project a lot more than I expected, but definitely enjoyed that. And then shout out to the Jonas Brothers. They have an album called The Album that I found myself jamming out to a lot. Jumping into my top five, this is the one that I listened to on one volume and I roll my windows up, but I'm gonna shout out to her, Olivia Rodrigo's Guts. Definitely a project I'm too old to listen to, but I definitely appreciate for what it is. Number four, Post Malone's Austin. That's just because I'm a huge Post Malone fan. Definitely one of my, not his best work, but definitely one I listened to a lot this year. Number three, The Arcs, Electrophonic Chronic. This one's, like people said, is a complete project, artwork. Everything was really great with it. It's one that I always throw out on work when I don't want to, like, put on anything that's too raunchy because, you know, I'm trying to be a professional or whatever. But that's on my three. At number two, I actually have Bad Bunny's newest album. I don't know how to say it in Spanish, but it's called Nobody Knows What's Going On. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. That one, again, it's not a great project in entirety, but it's definitely one that I think was on my most listened to of this past year. So that's at number two. And then at number one, it's Andre 3000 Flute album, dog. Like, oh, let me get into, like, no, I was kidding.
Oh, fuck yeah. I was like, I'm gonna go listen to that shit right now, then.
Like, no, I'm kidding. This one was, looking back at my Apple replay, it was my top artist, top album, and top song. And that's Noah Kahan's Stick Season. Well, I'll Be Here Forever. I listened to this way too much, and everyone kept asking me if I'm okay. I'm good. We'll see what happens with the winter.
You got three
but,
more months.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, three more months. But yeah, that's definitely my album of the year. I still listen to that at least once a week. So
yeah, if you're driving up the mountains too, fuck, man, put that shit on. I fucking highly recommend it, man.
All right,
keep posted. All right, Bread Boy, man, favorite albums of the year.
You know, I didn't have an order for these, but I guess I have to put an order on them. honestly, I would put Olivia Rodrigo at five. It was a pretty solid album. You know what? You gotta give it to her. And she was on SNL, so she was pretty solid on those performances.
You guys are just trying to fuck her. Like, best album.
Solid music,
just, solid chick, solid album. Oh, man.
I didn't say that. I just said solid album. Anyways, five is Guts, Olivia Rodrigo. Four, I went with Larry June's Great Escape. That man just makes me feel like I need to get my shit together, checking my credit score. Yeah, make sure you check your credit score. Make sure those credit cards aren't, you know, being charged for rent, like random things, because I got charged for an app that apparently I had for a year. So, you know, that's just a heads up. Number three would be also The Arcs, Electrophonic. That was pretty solid. Also, I just really like the Black Keys, so when you have one of them, it's pretty solid, man. Two, I would say Electric Dust, Leon Thomas. Really solid album, caught off guard. And then my number one, which is also on my Spotify Wrapped, was The Never Enough by Daniel Caesar.
I want to check that one out still.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't checked that one out either.
Hell yeah. All right, Jim, I'll go for it.
Sorry, question, any albums that you guys wish we reviewed this year? Anyone that, anything that pops into your head?
Too many.
I know, there was just too many, yeah. I just had it written out a couple. Danny Brown, of course, came out with an album. The Black Plumas came out with a new album.
Ooh, yeah, I want
to
listen to that.
And then Katrimine, whatever, I never listened to it, but it came out a while ago. I never got to listen to that one. So those are the ones that I could just...
And let me just say... I was kind of disappointed.
Damn. But, all right.
Yeah. But it's kind of chill. Like, I think I expected, like, a more Kitronata vibe.
Yeah.
I feel like Amine kind of, like, took over. So I'm like, he brought it back. So it was kind of mellow. So I don't know. Maybe it's because I was expecting, like, a more hyped album.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, not as hyped as I thought it would be. And I was like, oh. But I say check it out. It's pretty good. Like, in the sense of, like, how it sounds for a house/rap album.
Okay, yeah. It's just been on my to-listen-to list, but I just haven't done it, so.
I feel like, you know, to start the season five, we could probably still, you know, review some albums that we didn't get to this year because there's so damn many. It's ridiculous.
Happens every
year. And before we move on, I did want to give the podcast's top projects of the year. Percentage-wise, our top EP was the Turnstile and Bad Bad Not Good EP with 95.3%.
Yeah.
And then our top album was The Arcs Electrophonic Chronic with 90.6%.
Holy shit.
Although, hold on, I didn't write down the aggregate score of the Noah Kahan album, so maybe that could have been the top album.
I remember it was pretty high. I don't remember. I want to say it was like a 96. I don't want to say it was like super, super high.
I gave it a 5, so
yeah.
I gave it pretty high. So, I mean,
if those stand corrected, then.
Yeah.
If those are the two, then I'm happy with that this year. Those two projects were on my, like I said, top 5, so I get those for sure.
I agree, yeah.
And for the listeners who don't already know, follow us at the Audio Files Podcast. To close out the year, I do want to post on our stories or highlight section, like, each of our top albums and EPs, like, the pictures of them. So I'll go ahead and do that just so, so the people can see what our favorites were, visual form. Mm.
Nice,
yes. All righty, gentlemen, we usually do Songs of the Week, but closing out the year, we got Song of the Year, baby. What song have you just been listening to, jamming on, that's been on like every one of your playlists throughout 2023? Bebo, we'll go with you first, sir.
Yeah, it's a two-way tie. The first one I kept listening to when I took my vacation in the Pacific Northwest. It was just a feel-good track that kind of fit the atmosphere, like the overcast atmosphere. It's a track by an artist called Friday featuring Ty Dolla Sign called Shoot. And then the second one I named on this podcast, Jonathan L. Siegel by Sampha, man, just an amazing track. So those are gonna be my two songs of the year,
man. Last year, this song came out last year in 2022, but I've been listening to it all fucking year long, and that's She's Looking For Me by Kid Cudi, man. There's just something about that song, Kid Cudi and his element. I'm just like, automatically elevates my spirit, my vibe for the day, dude. So good fucking song. And then I'm going to say Gracias Por Nada by Bad Bunny, man. That shit's just been...
Yeah.
I don't know. I know we just, like, listened to it a couple weeks ago, but damn, I can't get that shit out of my head and out of my car.
It's mad catchy, for right? sure.
And it just has that vibe, that cool fucking vibe, and I'm just like, fuck yeah, dude. And then, of course, Search and Rescue by Drake. That shit was popping all fucking year, I can't lie. And then, let me see. Also, just because of the memes, man, fucking this brought this song back, and that's Higher by Creed, man. Like, fucking Forever Live.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
2000s, right? That shit was fucking dope. What about you, Bread Boy? Songs of the Year, sir? Oh, no, we've lost the Bread Boy.
Damn, he's dead.
Nah, I'm not dead yet.
You can't kill me.
I'm just kidding. Can't kill me. I rise again.
He's risen. With the eyes, he's risen.
Who thought? Sheesh. Y'all thought? We're doing the Spotify top songs that we did, or like the. Yeah, right?
Yeah, like songs.
Just the song of the year. You know, it doesn't have to be from Spotify, but just the one that you like the most, perhaps, from this year.
For sure. So I'm on Prime Music because I'm poor. No, I'm just kidding. For Spotify Wrapped, my top song was, because I was going on runs a lot and it was kind of hype. It's called Separated by I Am Nobody, I believe. And it's actually produced by Kitchenada. That's why I use it on my run. So it's like a short song. So just be on repeat. But aside from that, it was like a Daniel Caesar song. I don't know, I forgot which it was. Probably like Valentina or Ocho Rios. Solid. And also, Tiny Desk for Luis Rodrigo just dropped.
Damn.
I'm on YouTube, man.
I'm telling you, you guys just want to fuck her.
Hey, yo.
You see that shit drop, dude. She's in that shit, bro. Fucking.
Hey, man.
She's there, dude. Hey, why on the screen.
What? Yeah, that's not me putting words in my mouth, man.
I didn't say that. You said that. No, I was kidding.
We got ourselves a Jake Gyllenhaal here. Call me Gaslighter, bro.
Oh, man. No, we're talking about I'm Spider-Man. Miles Morales. man, all right. Aston, songs of the year, sir.
Let's see. I had songs of the week, but I'm gonna chat them out anyway, because it's the same artist. First of all, Post Malone came out with like a special for Christmas at Graceland. It's an Elvis cover called "Recovers the Song You're the Devil in Disguise," and then Olivia Rodrigo covered a Noah Kahan song a while back, and Noah Kahan did the same thing for her. So Noah Kahan covered the song "Lacey." Oh, so shit. I want to shout those two out.
So he's trying to fuck.
Yeah.
You guys better get to it. He's gonna beat you.
But if I'm gonna shout out the songs of the year, are definitely gonna be the Post Malone's "Chemical." That one's just a catchy song that I couldn't stop that was in my head all the time. And then my number one song is Noah Kahan's Everywhere Everything. That one's probably, like I said, it's my top song on my Apple Play, so it's definitely a banger for me, so I'll shout out that song.
Hell yeah. All right, gentlemen, any songs of the week, anything that you've just been riding with this week?
Who wants to go first?
Well, that was my bad. I shouted out my songs of the week already. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was confused. I was like, yeah, did I miss it?
My bad.
No, that was my bad.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. My bad. So for me, man, I'm going to go with a white rapper from Las Vegas, apparently, Cal Scrubby, Let It Ride. Shout out to Darlene Sanchez. I saw that shit on her fucking story, and that shit banged, so fucking go check that shit out. What about you, Bebo?
Yeah, this one I love, of course. I always talk about Ty Dolla $ign, and he's featured on this track that has more of a house beat to it, and I love when he gets on beats that are like house music. It's with the artist called Serpent with Feet, featuring Ty Dolla $ign and Yanga Yaya, I think that's how it's pronounced, and the track is called Damn Gloves, and that one's fire as fuck.
Hell yeah. Alrighty. Bread Boy, song of the week, sir.
Obviously, it's going to be Olivia Rodrigo. No, I'm just kidding. Tiny Desk. Tiny Desk just came out, but it's been all the week. So, I forgot about this band, but they came out on like my YouTube feed, and I was like, I listened to Young the Giant, the song My Body. I was like, this song goes hard, and I'm sad I missed them. They were at UCR the first year I was there. I'm kind of sad I missed them there. And they were in concert, I think, in August, and I missed them there as well because I had plans. And then my second song is by Jordan Ward. I think that's an album we probably should have also reviewed. I don't know if you guys.
He's dope, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fuck with some of the music. Sheesh.
Is that the guy who sings White Crocs?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know. The song that I was listening to was Think Twice.
Okay.
Yeah, but definitely check it out. I think that's a good album to review for maybe next year. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those were two on my top right there for the week.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. And that's going to do it for us here for this year, wrapping up 2023. Anything else we got to say, gentlemen?
Man, I'm excited to see what season 5, you know, holds. Hopefully a lot more new segments and new genres. I kind of want to low-key, you know what I want to do is I want to eventually review like a comedy album.
Oh, hell yeah.
I know it's kind of old school, but that would be kind of cool, you know?
I got one. I got one of mine.
Who does comedy albums lately?
I think there's still quite a bit of comedians that still put them out.
Yeah, I got one for sure.
Maybe not anyone's too super big. Who do you who's a comedian who just put out one that you know?
Shane Gillis, bro, dude, that dude is fucking funny.
Oh,
that dude's fucking funny. He infuses like history and shit.
Is the album?
Let me see.
Is the album his Netflix special or no?
I think so. I think that's what it is. Let me see. Fucking A. Yeah, it is.
His Netflix special. Yeah, that shit was amazing.
It is live in Austin.
Oh no, I haven't seen that one or heard it.
That shit's fucking funny.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah. I think I recommend
that.
That'd be dope, man. That'd be a good one. I like
maybe
it.
Maybe even review a movie. Maybe we all watch a movie and review a movie. I don't know. Do something different.
Hell yeah.
Or like a documentary, like Olivia Rodrigo documentary.
Damn.
I'm down.
And maybe we'll see D again. I don't know where that guy's at, but he's only been on like two episodes. So maybe the return of D will happen next year.
Perhaps he'll be stronger and better.
We definitely need a stronger D.
Yep. Yep. Telling me.
Best offense is a strong D.
Oh, man. All right, that's going to do for us here on the Audiophile. Stay tuned. We will be giving you that Santa's Sack 4 to wrap up season 4 in 2023. Nice. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. Again, for the fourth year, that's coming with a U.
Damn.
Fourth year in a row, so that joke never gets old. We got to tell it. It's tradition. You'll be seeing me in 10 years. Yeah, that's coming with a U. And you coming to me. Oh man, you guys have a good one. Stay safe this holiday and keep it classy and keep it sexy. Peace.